Sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Monday, July 28th, 2008, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That would be me.
No, you're doing it all wrong.
I have another really great show for you today, but then again, you know I always do. I'm pleased to bring you part two of my very important and oh-so-informative interview with Diane Duke, the Executive Director of the Free Speech Coalition. Did you happen to miss part one of this interview? Well, not to worry. Look for the podcast archive near the top of the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Just scroll down until you find podcast 71, and you'll be all set to go. Today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. You'll find a link to this great resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Video On Demand tab. All you really need to know about my video library is you can watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, delightfully enriching, and thoroughly informative videos right there from the comfort of your own home. How sweet is that? Listen, before we begin today's exciting show, I'd like to remind you of the toll-free lickety-split sex advice podcast voicemail hotline at 866-422-5680. Got a question? Maybe you have a comment. Maybe you just want to rant or rave a little bit, or just talk dirty for a minute or two. Whatever. Why not get it off your chest and give Dr. Dick a call at 866-422-5680.
Any of this getting through to you, son?
Hey, there's no need to be shy, my friends, because this is voicemail. No human is going to answer your call, least of all me. And besides, we're all looking forward to hearing from you. And once you call in, you can almost be guaranteed a place in one of my podcasts. Okay, on with the show. So welcome back, Diane. Thank you for joining us for week two of this really informative and important discussion that we're having about your work at the Free Speech Coalition. One of the things that I've heard from people since last week's discussion was they're not sure about the Constitution. They're not sure about their basic rights. They're not sure about the Bill of Rights. Maybe this would be a good place to begin a brief civics lesson. The First Amendment of the United States Constitution is the part of the Bill of Rights that expressly prohibits the United States Congress from making laws respecting the establishment of religion or that prohibit free exercise of religion. Laws that infringe the freedom of speech, bingo, infringe the freedom of the press, limit the rights to peacefully assemble, or limit the right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And of course, the Fourth Amendment, which also is a big part of the work that y'all do, guards against unreasonable searches and seizures, like sex toys and dirty magazines and videos. Isn't that right?
That's correct. That's true, and I'm so glad that you brought these, that you're talking to people about the First and Fourth Amendment, because we just assume that our rights are protected and guarded, and they are, you know, if we don't watch, they will be violated, and they are being violated. That's why I'm so passionate about the work that I do.
And I think there was recently some research done, you know, that maybe 1 in 10 people, citizens of the United States, would even recognize the Bill of Rights as part of our Constitution. They thought it was some kind of communist manifesto or something. It's shocking to me the amount of ignorance. And because we are ignorant about our rights and responsibility as citizens, the government can often do terrible things to deny us what is rightfully ours.
I think one of the most dangerous things, the most dangerous threat to our personal freedoms and to the Bill of Rights is complacency. And unfortunately, I think we just assume that they're safe. We just assume that they're there and they're always going to be there. But even in, you know, especially with this last administration, we have seen those rights being chipped away and chipped away and chipped away. And people have no idea the limits to their personal freedoms that have been imposed and that are imposed. And so, you know, especially around our issues, sexual expression and adult entertainment, they are limited.
Yeah, and possessing what we want to possess.
Mm-hmm. And being able to buy what we want to buy.
Exactly. Wherever we want to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I think you're saying that the Free Speech Coalition does the citizenry an enormous service by protecting and advocating for our rights, even if those citizens hate everything that the adult industry does and stand for.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that. In the movie that was the movie about Larry Flint, the one with Woody Harrelson in it.
Right.
There was a line in that movie that I just, and you know, he was in court and he was saying, if you have to understand, if you protect me, the worst of the worst is what he was calling himself. We're protecting everyone's rights. So even for folks who believe, and I don't believe that, but even for folks who do believe that we are the worst of the worst. You know, the fact that we can show whatever pictures we want to or whatever movies we want to, which we actually can because there are some limits there, protects their right to, you know, do what they want to do. Go to talk, you know, stand on the street corner and preach.
Mm-hmm.
To tell me that they believe that I'm immoral and going straight to hell.
Mm-hmm.
They have every right to say that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to believe it, but they have every right to say that. And so we're protecting their right and ability to do that.
So the point that you made just a little while ago about complacency, I'd like to go back to that, if
sure.
we may. I know that there are a handful of industry people who listen to my podcast on a regular basis, but most of the people in my audience are just regular folk. They're interested in sex, of course, or they wouldn't be here. But besides being a consumer of adult products and services from time to time, they probably don't know that any acquaintances of theirs are in the adult industry, except me, perhaps. So if I know my audience, and I think I do, their question for you is, why should I, Jane or Joe Blow, care about the concerns of the adult industry as long as I can log on to the internet and see the smut that I want to whenever I want to, or buy that souped-up vibrator with the special clit-licking doohickey? Who cares?
Well, you know, I'm going to focus right now on sex toys, and then we can talk a little bit more about the movies. You know, a lot of folks don't understand that until recently in 7 states, it was illegal to buy sex toys, adult novelties. And recently there has been a case in where the state law in Texas was overturned. It's now being reviewed en banc, which many of attorneys believe that it's not going to make it through that. But it'll go back to being 7 states again. But literally where it would be illegal for someone to sell a toy, a novelty to someone else, anything designed to stimulate the genitalia.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that is broad. People have been arrested. And one of the things that's very, very popular these days are these passion parties,
mm-hmm.
where people, you know, you kind of have a Tupperware party with your friends, and you're selling sex toys instead of Tupperware. And, you know, it's been wildly popular because you're doing this in the privacy of your own home. You're around your friends. It's a comfortable environment. Well, there was a woman in Texas who was arrested for that and charged for that. And, you know, this is talk about Fourth Amendment. Talk about what you can do in the privacy of your own home. You can't even have a Tupperware-like passion party in your own home where you're there with the person who's selling, you know, vibrators or dildos or massage oils or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And talking anything that, you know, because you're selling something that may be designed to stimulate the genitalia. I have to ask, and this one I just don't understand. I've really tried and I've thought about it, and maybe you can enlighten me. Why does the government care if I own a vibrator? What possible interest should the government have in whether or not Diane Duke owns a vibrator. And that's where I think if you want to talk about personal freedoms and right to privacy, you just don't get any more personal than that.
Well, of course not. But, you know, I mean, the government has intervened several times in the past, you know, to the chagrin of us all. I mean, prohibition was a classic example of that. I mean, the public mm-hmm. morals, you know, we're going to mm-hmm. try to particularly to save you women, you benighted women, from, you know, falling prey to, you know, sexual depravity by, you know, being able to stimulate a part of your body that, you know, God gave you great pleasure to enjoy.
What happens if we find our G-spot? Oh, my God. It'll be a revolution.
You know, that's the funny thing is that, you know, people always ask me that, you know, isn't it odd that, you know, this commercial for this vibrator, this obviously, you know, penis-shaped vibrator, is being shown, you know, where a woman is holding it against her cheek or the back of her head or her forehead or something like that. And they said, well, you know, obviously it's meant for other parts of the body, but, you know, you can't say that. And I said, no, in some places you can't say that. You can't. You can't allude to the fact that this could possibly be used for sexual stimulation, or you violate the law.
Yeah, and people, I mean, Sherry Williams is. I'll tell you, this woman has been fighting for everybody's rights. She is in Alabama. She owns two novelty stores. She has gone as far as almost to the Supreme Court.
That's
they would
right.
not take her case. And has I can tell you, she has spent fortunes because she is absolutely dedicated to the fact that we should be able to have the rights to sell and buy adult novelties, adult products designed for adults to be used by adults. And, you know, she's absolutely right. And she has said, so now, you know, she's gone as far as she can go because the Supreme Court will not take up her case. So she's gone as far as she can go. And she said, and her stores are open. So she is not running the risk of doing hard time in federal prisons for this. And so she is one of our heroes, and she's one of the people on the front line. So, you know, sex toys are the bans on sex toys are one of them. Right now, another area that the industry is just completely being bombarded with are obscenity cases. Mm-hmm. And the current administration came into office, they had a pact with some of the fundamentalist groups, and obscenity became a priority, and they waged war on our industry. And, you know, it played itself out to the point where there have been some, you know, they really are trying to prosecute and prosecute these obscenity cases and have them, you know, these folks found guilty. But it's difficult because the thing about obscenity is you have to take the piece as a whole. So like a film, you have to see the whole film, whatever, you can't just choose one piece of it. It has to be mm-hmm. taken as a whole. So you have to see the whole production. It has to lack any artistic, political value, speech value. And it has to be regarded as prurient interest by a group of your peers, but community value. So in the community. So, you know, our government has been looking at places, Tampa is where our most recent one was, where Paul Little, most folks know him as Max Hardcore, was tried, and he actually found guilty.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a really difficult case because they took it from a website, and they did not take the whole website into consideration. The jurors were not asked; they didn't have to watch the entire film, mm-hmm. including the part where, you know, afterwards all the actors were there talking and laughing and playing, and their husband and wife teams together. So it was a really difficult case. It's going up for appeal. Another case was, which I just think this one just makes my stomach turn and my skin crawl. It's called the Red Rose case, where there is a woman who was she was abused as a child and she was agoraphobic.
Mm-hmm.
And her her therapist suggested to her that she do journaling to kind of work through some of the issues of her abuse. And so that was helpful for her, but because she can't go out of the house and was afraid to be around other people, did a chat group journaling. She put together a website where people could come on and journal. She had about 29 people who were part of that. This was the written word. The government went after her. Mm-hmm. On obscenity charges of the written word. And it was just, so here you have the federal government charging a woman who's agoraphobic, who's working through abuse issues, child abuse issues, as prescribed by her counselor. And the attorney who was working on the case for her, he did it pro bono. Wonderful, wonderful man. His name is Larry Walters. He knew that going to court she could not survive a week of court, and knew that her going to jail, any jail time, she literally would have broken down. So he made a deal with the federal government, and so they were able to put another obscenity notch on their belt on the written word, and they gave her house arrest. So I mean, she stays at home anyway. So that was it. So it took the risk out of it. But this woman now has an obscenity prosecution, so she's a felon.
That's right.
And, and the government got to put a notch on its belt. Yes, we got another obscenity case. Well, I hope they're proud of themselves, because to me that is just, you want to talk about going after the weakest of the weak, somebody who is just, really trying to work out their issues, and there they are. So, I mean, you don't think that things like this are going to happen, but this is what's happening. When you have a goal of getting as many obscenity cases as possible, they've gone after other folks for different issues, tax issues or whatever else, any business, you're going to find folks with that. And they get them to write off all the tax issues, and we'll give you this obscenity charge and you won't have to do any time. So they're really trying to get these obscenity charges. And we saw with Alberto Gonzalez, he was, he resigned.
Speaking of obscene.
Yeah. And it's because, and all of those prosecutors, federal prosecutors that were fired because they would not prosecute obscenity cases. They didn't see it as a priority, and they knew they couldn't win, and they did not want to go after these cases that Gonzalez and the administration was pushing. So, and he's, they're still looking into these issues, but it's true. There was a vendetta. And I got to tell you, there's so many things right now that our government could be working on and running after. Poor, women who are homebound doesn't seem to be a priority. Doesn't seem to be a federal priority. At least it isn't for my tax dollars.
Right. But, the thing is, this is not part of mainstream media news. I mean, we never hear anything about this unless one is reading things on your website or reading industry journals. We don't know that these kinds of things are happening. It's an outrage, and that's why a good portion of the population, including a lot of people who pay a great deal of attention to Dr. Dick Sack's advice, don't know from Shinola. They don't know that, these kinds of abuses are happening, and they're blissfully going on, as long as I have internet connection to my porn and as long as I can buy those sex toys, who cares? It's probably not a big issue. But it is. It's fundamentally and so important to everything that we hold sacred as a society.
Well, I remember, I guess it was last year sometime, I was watching CNN in the morning, and CNN, one of the reporters from, I don't know, it was New York Times, or had done a story on baby boomers starting to become performers in adult entertainment movies. So there's women who were like 50 years old becoming adult actresses, and men too. I mean, so just couples doing this, and that films, it was a new kind of upswing on films. And so they did this story on it, and CNN had this reporter on, and it was, I think it was aging of porn or something like that, and just raked her over the coals for doing this because it was just, sensationalist, and it was about sex, and I can't believe that. And, he just raked her over this, and this reporter was just being chewed up and spit out, and I sat there, and I was so angry Then he ended the story, and the next words out of this man's mouth were, "And next, what's Monica Lewinsky doing now?"
That's right.
And I just went, "Ugh, what kind of double standards are we talking here? You want to talk about sensationalists? I don't care about the damn cigar." Mm-hmm. You know?
Or the blue dress.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how long did the media stay on that? But again, you know, it's easy, it's popular to victimize the adult entertainment industry. And when a reporter reported on our industry in a positive way, she was just lambasted by CNN, which, you know, is sometimes thought of as more of a progressive news medium, but I got to tell you, on these issues, it's amazing, because you really can't count on when you say people are liberal. Well, you also have folks who consider themselves ultra liberal and feminist and think that our adult entertainment industry is exploiting women, when I can tell you from personal experience, this is a very women empowered industry. From business owners, leaders, there are a lot of women executives in this industry, and and I've got to tell you, women talent get paid a lot more than the men do.
That's true enough. Listen, can we go back to something that you alluded to last week? That was the issue of piracy, and because I know that's a huge thing for not only producers like myself, but also consumers.
Yep. Well, you know, piracy, and it is, you know, it's hurting. If you enjoy watching adult entertainment, then support the industry, support the people who you're watching, support the talent and the producers that you watch, and do that by not engaging in pirated materials. And how do you know if it's pirated? Look and see. Is there a 2257? You will see 2257 across the front of it. That's one way that you'll be able to tell that. But also, if you're getting a full movie for free and it's not on the site of the producers that you're talking about, chances are it's pirated material. So do your homework. Find out if it's pirated and don't support that.
Mm-hmm. But why shouldn't we support that? I mean, why? You know, everyone in the porn industry is rich and fat, and you know, and I'm poor.
Yeah, I was going to say, wait a minute, where's that money, Richard?
Wait, that's what I hear from people is, you know, everyone, they're making oodles of money, and you know, I'm a starving student, and so, you know, I just think it's fair. But you know, people wouldn't have that same feeling about, well, you know, that the Safeway down the street or the QFC or whatever down the street, you know, clearly has more products than I have in my pantry. So I'm just going to go there and take what I need and, you know, and not pay for it. I mean, it would be certainly completely double standard that way.
Yeah, it was hilarious because last week we were talking with Christie Brinkley's soon-to-be ex-husband. Paid $3,000. I guess, you know, came out. They paid $3,000. You know, for porn, mm-hmm. And you know, and the big question from a lot of people is, why would anybody pay $3,000 for porn? And you know that. Oh, you're hearing that was just, oh man.
It's true. Because
you know it's true. You know, people are getting on and online, and some folks are getting it for free. But when you walk into a DVD store and you put a DVD in your pocket and you walk out, you're stealing.
That's right.
And when you click on the internet and you're downloading something that is not that is pirated material, it's just like walking out of the store with a DVD. And people don't understand that. And you know, is there going to be a buzzer that goes off? And are you going to be targeted? Probably not. Our industry has, you know, we really do support our consumers to the point where we really don't want to target people. We don't want to perpetuate the shame based. I mean, because people, you know, I've heard people say, well, in this industry, we just start outing people who are doing it, and that's going to be enough. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that does perpetuate shame, and we don't have anything to be ashamed about. However, if you're stealing, I would say, yes, you do. But, you know, and we're not stupid. I mean, the industry knows that technology is moving forward at a rapid rate. Our industry has always been on the forefront of technology, so we're looking at ways that just like you know you now can download a a tune for 99 cents. Mm-hmm. And you can be legal, and it's making it easier to do that legal. I mean, we're all looking at ways that we can do that. We're talking to the MPAA, we're talking to the RIA to look at ways that, you know, how can we all move forward in this and make it a win-win situation for producers as well as consumers. But understand, when you're downloading pirated materials, especially today, you're stealing money from the people that you're watching, and
right. out of my pocket, damn it.
Yeah, and you know, as I said before, you know, we are a big industry of small businesses. We don't have a big four. I mean, there's, you know, Larry Flint, yes, he's doing well, but he also has a casino. He also has novelties. I mean, he's diversified, and I can promise you that the Hustler movies, you know, have been pirated, and that's affecting their bottom line.
Right.
You want to continue to get the quality of merchandise that you're getting. Everybody's going to have to be part of the result. Everybody's going to have to, you know, pitch in and pay their fair share in order for us to be able to continue to produce the quality of movies and the quality of products that you want.
And as a producer, I don't want to approach my customers as the enemy. Like,
yeah.
You know, you're just going to rip me off, or you're just going to take advantage of my generosity. I don't want to have that kind of relationship with the people that I work with or that consume my product. So, you know, if we can work together and, you know, and price things more reasonably,
yep.
and, you know, and listen to the feedback that we're getting from consumers who are saying that, you know, like DVD costs are, you know, outrageously, you know, off the charts, when you can get,
yeah.
you know, a blockbuster movie from Hollywood for, you know, $20 and
yeah.
on a DVD, but, you know, adult kind of things are $60. Well, that
yeah.
that doesn't make any sense. And, you know, and I agree with that, because I, you know, as a producer, having to deal with distributors who, you know, are charging an arm and a leg to retailers and making all the profit while the producers are not. I mean, it's a scandal. So I think there's lots of work for all of us to do.
Absolutely. We're going to, and it's up to the industry, and we are stepping up to the plate to also make sure that, you know, we provide a positive experience for the consumer. I mean, to make it, you know, to start looking at ways to embrace the technology, but also make it kind of a one-stop shop too, and some positive things where you can, you know, what is it that would make this experience even better for you? Do you want to be able to blog? Do you want to be able to have different kinds of shows? Do you want a podcast? Do you want, you know, so some of the other things that'll make it an experience? Do you want to be able to buy novelties that accompany the video? So, you know, all kinds of things. So it really, we out, you know, and I think our industry has always been very, very good at that, and we will continue. So I think the next wave of what happens in the adult entertainment industry is going to be very exciting.
I think so too. Listen, before we conclude, can you give us your web address and maybe walk us around a bit and let us know what we could find there?
Sure. It's www.freespeechcoalition.com. And you'll find information from basic memberships. If you want to be an advocate member, it's $25, and we'll give you information as to what's happening in the industry. You'll get a weekly newsletter. If you're interested in any of the issues that we've been talking about, secondary effects, 2257, any of those kinds of laws, those are there. Stories on our website we keep updated, so what's kind of happening the latest in the last week or so will be up there. Just information about our organization, the different products that we provide for the industry, as well as contact information for me and others, if you're interested in getting a hold of us.
Cool. Thank you, Diane, so much for being so generous with your precious time. We are all the richer for the experience.
It's been a pleasure. And one more thing that I want to say is I really appreciate what you do. And the thing that I love about Dr. Dick is the humor that you put in there. And I think a big part of erasing the stigma of adult entertainment is for us to be able to laugh. And so thank you so much for all the joy that you bring to
funny.
Me. It is. You know,
for the
that's
most
God.
Part.
You know, lighten up.
Really. Get a grip and have a life. Well, thank you, darling. We will see you in cyberspace.
Yes, you will. Thank you.
Gosh, what a great show. I love Diane Duke. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library.
I think that this is your way of telling me something.
Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. You'll find a link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the front page of DrDickSexAdvice.com. Look for the tab that reads Video on Demand. Remember, there is no membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute kind of deal. And your pay-per-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. How sweet is that? And don't forget to look for Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. Once in the podcast section, all you have to do is search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice, and don't forget to subscribe. Hey, and feel free to leave a comment when you do.
Of course, darling.
Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex, that's even better. Over and out.